You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Welcome to Desperate. This is a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and today we are watching the season finale. I have now watched, after today, one whole season of Desperate Housewives.
I can't believe we're already here. I can't believe it.
I'm about 10 to 12 years late, but we made it.
And I'm Jordan, as you all know, and this is not my first time watching, but now Julia is a whole season in, so we're both veterans now, I could say, of Wisteria Lane.
I had such a good time. I had such a good time. I'm like, oh my gosh.
No, the show's fun. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Crazy shit. It's got that soap opera vibe almost. After today's episode, I think it really leans into that.
I mean, I was talking to somebody at my new job. Kind of it wasn't really an interview. Like, he would be my partner there. So it was more like a vibe check. Mm-hmm. But he was like, what do you do for fun? And I'm like, I'd make this podcast about Desperate Housewives. And he's like, oh my God, I love that show. And I was like, I wrote my little review. I was like, hire him. So yeah, we've met a lot of great people through the podcast. Mm-hmm. We've gotten some great messages. Oh, and yeah. Some good feedback, so we're happy that you're along for the ride. We know that you've been watching along on Amazon Prime or on Hulu or on your DVD set or wherever you've been doing it. We're so happy that you've come this far. And if you've just been listening to us with not watching, we're happy that you've done that too. Mm-hmm. And we're also so thankful that some of you took the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify. It's grown as we've started. Yeah. I mean, it would be bad if it didn't.
Yeah, that would be rough.
But we're happy if you've done that. And if you haven't, since this is the last episode of the season, just come on, go do it.
Yeah.
You'll never get the chance to listen to season one in real time, like again.
Yeah, no, this is it.
So you can leave your timestamp of like where we were at. Mm-hmm. We have Instagram. We have Twitter. Follow us.
You know, like, subscribe, follow, rate, review. You know the drill.
We're still growing. Talk about us to your friends, to your parents, mm-hmm. to your cats. Because we have that subsection of fans.
Yeah.
cat lovers.
And even though this is the end of season one, it is not the end of us, just so everybody is aware.
I know, I'm like talking about it, I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
I might drop.
Like, just to clarify, we do have some fun ideas for between the seasons, and then we'll probably take just like a little break and then dive into season two, just so everybody knows. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. We have some fun stuff, so today is not the end. But it is the end of season one.
Yeah, and then probably like a month break or so, but not terribly long.
Nope.
It's summertime. You guys get out there and enjoy life. Mm-hmm. We'll be here all winter to keep you company and cozy.
And this gives all the people that are joining later to go back and listen while they wait for our next season.
Yeah, all fall and winter, you're going to have us in your ears, in your minds. You know how it goes if you've been along for the ride, though. We take some time and we recap where we've been, mm-hmm. and then we do our own desperate deeds to get us warmed up for what's coming our way with these ladies. We do our full recap of the episode that we're watching, and then at the end we do a quick little rating with a Apple rating, a housewife of the week, or a hubby of the week. And then also we do a fuck, marry, kill, which is our favorite. Mm-hmm. We might have to mix it up at some point. Next season, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I've liked.
I think our formula is good.
I like our little rating system
Me
so
too.
Far.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do need, I have said this for so long. We do need to make a rubric for how we're giving away the Housewife of the Week. It's just been...
That's probably... So, yeah, if you guys have any ideas for season two that you have, feedback on our structure and how we've been doing it, please let us know, because we definitely want to sit down before we go into season two to figure out what we want to keep, what we want to change. And like Julia said, do things like create a rubric for Housewife of the Week, because at this point we're just kind of winging it.
We've just been like jumping the gun. We've been like, yes, that person for like this reason.
Yeah. So, you know.
They just stood out in our minds.
But this has been a really fun first season. I think we've learned a lot and we're excited to take that knowledge into our next season. So.
Yeah. Very excited to get season two on the way.
Oh, yeah.
And today, it's the finale, season one, episode 23, and it's called One Wonderful Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the day is going to be that wonderful that they're talking about, but...
I kind of doubt it.
I doubt it. I'm very excited to see what happens, who makes the appearance, who makes the cut for the finale.
Yeah.
Last episode, though, episode 21...
Goodbye for now, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's how I titled my email, my goodbye email at work. I was switching jobs. I was like, goodbye for now.
Yeah.
And somebody else was leaving on the same day and they did that. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I did adios, por ahora. Episode 21. I mean, we've been building up for a while to the finale.
Yeah.
If you remember 2005, we had these long seasons of shows. There was lots of buildup. There was lots of filler. We don't have the 8 episode shit that we do now.
Things were longer. They had to fill.
We've been on our way here. What happened with season, if you recall, a lot of this season has been on off with Mike because he definitely committed manslaughter at some point.
Yep.
Which I think is hot. He was also a drug addict, recovered now, plumbing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hardcore. He's got a job and a nice house. Like, think about it. Mike can afford that big ass house that he has.
He was getting paid by Deirdre's dad.
I know.
A lot of money.
Okay, but if he had just been a plumber, you know? Because everybody in the neighborhood thinks he's just a plumber. And he can
but
just, like,
plumbers
afford.
Make good money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Mike is really successful. That big ass house for just him and his dog. Like,
sometimes crazy. When I watch this show, I start fantasizing about living on Wisteria Lane. I'm like, fuck, I don't even care about the murder, suicides, all that shit. Let me live there.
Keeps it thrilling.
Like, their houses are all so cool. The only house that I'm like, is Bree's. I don't like the outside of her house.
Oh.
But I love Susan's house and I love Edie's house.
Susan's house is the most... Okay, this will have to be for our final...
Yeah.
Our post-mortem.
We're going to deep dive into the houses.
I'm like, I have some opinions about these houses too. But either way, they were on off all season because of the things I stated with Mike's sketchy past.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are at the end of the last episode. Episode 20, she finally gets back together with Mike. She, like, finds out the whole truth that he, like, did this all in the name of love for Deirdre. Like, accidentally, it was manslaughter, accidentally killed this cop. And Susan's like, I knew. And they, like, kiss at the end. Mm-hmm. And then this episode, they're just like, let's just fucking move in together.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, no, they jump right in.
But, like, whatever. Yeah. So Mike and Susan are moving in together, but Mike is hot on the tail of Mr. Paul Young.
Yep.
He is piecing everything together like the smart man that he is. The
with a lot of help from
Felicia. Yeah, I shouldn't give it all to Mike. Like, okay, Felicia basically sets him up.
Dude, Felicia's like a puppet master.
Felicia runs this town.
Yeah, she does.
Paul didn't know he met his match the day she walked it. She stepped foot, and Paul was like, who's that? Felicia's like, yo, this is where Paul is going to be on Thursday night at this baseball field to pick up his son, Zach, so he thinks, but he's going to meet you there, and you're going to knock him out cold, which is what happens. But Susan starts, like, as they're moving in, she starts setting these boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
She is like, you can't have the gun. I found your gun. We're moving. You can't have that shit anymore. And then she's getting more and more suspicious because she finds Mrs. Martha Huber's journal. And she's like, why would Mike have this? And she follows him. So she thinks to the baseball field. But she just opens the door and it's literally a man cheating on his husband. On his wife.
Yeah. And then the wife the mistress is like, is that your wife? He's like, do you think I'd be with you if that was my wife? And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. I was like, whoa.
Susan walked away with swagger that night. She was like, So that's what happens there. Mike knocks Paul out at the baseball field and we just end there. Susan and Mike are going to move in happily, mm-hmm. I think. And then Gabby... Carlos commits another hate crime this episode,
Another accidental hate crime.
No, I shouldn't say he doesn't hate gay people. He even says, yeah. I think, at a certain point, but he punches Justin in the face because Gabby, they're fighting about something. And they're just fighting in general because he's a fucked up husband who fucked with her birth control.
Yeah, he did like one of the worst, most disgusting things you could do to a woman.
They're fighting and Gabby gets pissed and she speeds away in her little Maserati or whatever. And she's like, if you are the father. And this sets Carlos off and mm-hmm. he follows her and his ankle bracelet goes off because he's still got that bad boy on. She goes to John's house, which, if you recall, Justin lives there. Mm-hmm. And Justin answers the door, and he's like, John's not here. She ends up talking to Justin. They have, like, another heart-to-heart. They seem to have a few of these. Mm-hmm. And then she leaves and hugs him, and Carlos is all the while watching, and he goes up there and, like, punches him in the face after.
Yeah.
And the cops get there, and they're like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, this is the man my wife is cheating on me with. And he's not a man. He's a boy, because he's barely 18.
I still am confused on the ages of everybody.
I don't know their ages, what they're doing in town, if they're going to college or what, but... Then you hear Justin pipe up, no, I'm gay. And he says, Carlos says, not again. And the cops are like, again. And he's like, fuck. So that's what happens with Susan and Gabby, that last episode.
Yeah. Oh, man. So next we had Bree and Lynette. So I'll start with Lynette. We're still doing the ongoing Annabelle saga, like with Lynette and Tom. And Tom has been kind of shitty about it. But Tom kind of gets, like, some redemption, and Lynette gets brought down a peg in the last episode. So Lynette tries to set up Annabelle for a new job at a different firm, which then Annabelle leverages into a promotion at her current job. And it was the promotion that Lynette had, like, blocked Tom from getting. So Tom, not knowing all these machinations that Lynette has put into place, pops off on his boss and is like, how could you give it to Annabelle? And he's like, well, we can't afford to lose her. And he's like, yeah, but like, that should have been mine. And he starts calling him incompetent. And like, the boss is like, oh, well, your wife fucking told my wife that like, it would hurt your family if you got this promotion. And Tom's like, wait, what? And so Tom essentially quit, but by the end of it was fired.
I mean, he would have been fired because he was really, like, going in on his boss. And his boss is like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it was bad. So Tom, like, now he knows, like, what Lynette's done. And he does not have a job. So we're kind of picking up in this next episode with where that leaves the Scavos. And then Bree, with her horrible decision-making per usual, she's... basically given George the idea at this point that, like, if Rex wasn't in the picture...
She's giving him all green lights.
She is.
All green, hard, solid greens. No yellows.
All bad. All bad. Yeah. So, like, basically, like, George is still poisoning Rex at this point, giving him not his medicine, making him sicker. George, like, quote-unquote, runs into Bree at the store where he's like, you know, you should tell Rex to be more... discreet, because George had broken into their house and saw their like toys. So he basically is like, yeah, I overheard some doctors talking about like what you guys do in the bedroom, and he like confirms to Bree what that is, which is like the BDSM stuff.
Yeah.
Bree is obviously very upset by this. Like, I don't think she's ever fully leaned in to like what Rex likes. I think she just does it by necessity. And so this just makes her fucking furious because she's embarrassed.
Yeah, she thinks it's sinful because she's the biggest, like, Bible thumper of all these women.
Yeah. So Bree, like, confronts Rex about it one night. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
In the most dramatic fashion, like, sitting in, like, a 19th century, like, nightgown by the window with like the wind blowing their hair.
No, it's weird. So yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Rex is like, baby, what's up? She's like, you talking about our BDSM.
Yeah. So to be fair to Bree, I mean, what else could she, like, I would not just jump to the conclusion that George broke into our house and that's how he found out. So to be fair, I guess, like, I do see why she's fucking pissed, but her following action,
He sniffed that box out like a drug-sniffing dog.
Yeah, he
like,
did.
Like, what the fuck, George? Like, how did you find the BDSM shit, like, immediately?
It's crazy.
But I guess you're right. Brie didn't know better. What could she have done or assumed? But also, Rex has a motherfucking heart attack in this instant. Yeah. And she, like, basically lets him die, almost.
She hesitates, or she lets him sit on the stairs for a good minute while she makes the bed and gets ready to go to the hospital. Danielle sees what's happening. He's, like, yelling at her, like, Dad's fucking dying downstairs. Like, take him to the damn hospital. So she finally does, but she hesitates for a long-ass time. And I would feel like, okay, even if I was, like, betrayed in that sense, I would not let the person, like, if they were having a heart attack, I would take them to the fucking hospital.
Yeah.
Deal with it later. Deal with your anger later.
Like, Danielle is currently talking about that in therapy.
Like, yeah, no, Danielle's fucking up. She's talking
about the night that her dad basically had a heart attack and her mom was psycho about it.
Yeah. So that's, like, where those stories leave us. And then lastly, like, we do see these neighbors move in.
Yeah, we don't know much about them.
We don't know anything other than they were moving in. And it's to that house where seemingly randomly, like, the episode opened showing this random couple leave. But it's their house.
Yeah.
So that's where the last episode left us before the finale. Mm-hmm. And for the finale, what is the episode title? It is called
One Wonderful Day.
That's right. So, yeah.
We've got some desperate deeds teed up.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go
first?
Yeah,
I'm looking for something particular on my phone. I really enjoyed reading you guys a text message last time from that psycho dude. Mm-hmm. But I have a picture for you, Jordan. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Can you tell me after I show you, tell me what this is.
Is that a dick?
It's a dick. It's a penis.
Why do you have that? Is that someone's Tinder picture?
Yes. So, you guys, it's not a dick pic. I don't do those. Do not ever send me those. Men don't. It's gross. This is a Tinder picture. This is the first picture on this person, Teddy29. This is the first picture on his Tinder profile. I took this on May 16th at 10:33 p.m. I had this stored up. I was like, this will be a great desperate deed.
Oh my God. That's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
That's like, okay, so now if you're just a person on Tinder, you have to get an unsolicited dick pic, not even sent to you, just
literally swiping. I don't even know what the second picture is because there seems to be a second picture on this. Obviously, Teddy29 underneath, because on Tinder now, you can select things that you're interested in. Like, I'm interested in CrossFit or, like, astrology. He says outdoors and reading to accompany the dick pic. That's all that's on there. I don't think this man had a picture of his face. I didn't investigate. He said, looking for fun, don't be shy, with the eye roll emoji.
Hey, maybe that guy should be a little more shy.
Maybe he should not basically flash women on the internet.
No, that's what that is, and that's legitimately, that to me is the equivalent of a sex crime.
That's a sex crime.
Like, that's a sex crime.
That's exposing no one wants yourself to see in them. Public. So, sorry to... sorry, you're going to hate me today. You're like,
fucking disgusting.
You're like, I didn't want this today. I'm sorry.
No, I hate...
I'm sorry if I violated... No.
Now this man has violated both of us.
Yeah, but that's been... that's my desperate deed. It's not mine, but I think that man is very desperate to be putting your private parts on the internet
Yeah.
He couldn't even wait to get in the DM. Like,
it's Have some disgusting. Self-respect, bro. You don't need to post your dong on your profile.
Gross. I think, as I've been on the dating apps for a while now... yeah, I don't really enjoy when when men are, like, posting, like, if they have, like, a shirtless pic where they're obviously trying to show off their body, I don't, like, I swipe left.
I want someone normal.
I just, like, you don't, like, I want to like your personality. Like,
no, it's been a long time since I've been on the dating apps now, but when I was last on it.
Humble brag.
well, the last time I was on it, though, that is, like, a thing, like, people just post, like, these weird photos, no bio, and I'm like, why would I say yes to that?
Yeah, I'm like, also, you do need to be posting your job, and it can't be a joke. Like, I do need to know that you work, like...
It's just so weird to me. I don't know. It sucks. It sucks, like, when people are annoying as fuck.
I mean, I can't say, like, I do want you to be fit and, like, take care of yourself and, like, good looking, but I also don't need, like, your shirtless, like, pic with your dick almost out.
Yeah,
like,
gross.
I don't, like...
No, that was always a huge turnoff to me, too.
Yeah, so It's been rough out there, but that's my desperate deeds. So Teddy 29 interested in outdoors and reading with his dick on the internet. You're desperate.
So my desperate deed is not my own desperate deed. And I don't even know if it's a desperate deed, but I think it kind of falls into that territory. And we talked about it a little bit when I first got here.
Did we?
Yeah, it's in the news, folks. It's the return of Bennifer, of J-Lo and Ben Affleck. So
I'm interested in your hot take.
My hot take is Julie and I were talking about it. And as a lot of people know, J-Lo, when she and A-Rod broke up because he cheated on her, which is shocking to me that anybody would cheat on her, but whatever. She did like a reality tour where she went and hung out with every single one of her like famous exes. And I at first interpreted it as maybe she's like doing a soul searching, and Julia's like, no, I think she just wanted to like hit up her exes. And I'm like, maybe you're right. Like, maybe I'm reading into this too much. And it clicked with Ben Affleck because he fucking worked out. He's like looking better than he did as Batman to get back with J-Lo, which I get. But she posted a picture of them kissing on her birthday or some. I don't remember what they were celebrating. But it was her birthday. He took her on like a $200 million super yacht for her birthday, and she posted photos of them kissing. Now I'm like shook. I'm shook by it.
I mean,
it.
I would too if you took me on a $200 million. Well, yeah, I wouldn't even like that guy. I'd be like, do you want to kiss and I can post about it? Like,
But I guess my question is like, not even a question, is like, I kind of feel like it is. I feel like it is a little bit desperate of both of them. Like, they both had all these failed marriages in between, and they're like, you know what? We're just going to make this work, even though they had their relationship like exploded at the end, like initially.
Did it? What happened?
They just like, I don't know what exactly happened, but like they both moved on extremely quickly after their engagement broke up, and they had a huge movie flop in there, Geely or whatever the fuck it was called.
Shit. Yeah. I forgot about that. Like
their careers kind of went sour.
That was talked about for a long time.
Yeah. No, that was like a fucking joke forever. It was like the biggest bomb was the movie they did together.
I don't know if it's desperate. Okay. Let's think about it. If they were not famous people,
I would think it was desperate.
If they were not famous, this would be very desperate. If like
if she wasn't J-Lo and he wasn't Ben Affleck,
if they were just like average ass people, like, yeah.
That, you know what this looks like? Desperate. It looks like two people in their 40s that are just kind of like giving up on trying to find like what
that's
actually
the time
works
to do it,
and they just like are going back to each other.
Actually, my future.
also, like Ben Affleck must have a thing for Jennifers.
Think so. What the hell's going on? Oh my god! You date another dude with the exact same name as your ex.
That's rough.
I've come close to dating, and I mean, there's a guy at my gym that I have a crush on. We matched last year and talked for a while. And then I was like, I think you go to my gym. And he like stopped talking to me, even though we had talked for like a week.
Weird.
It was super weird. And then I saw him at the gym today, and his name is Nick. And I have another ex named Nick. And I was like, should I really date another Nick again?
This is cursed.
Not that it will happen, but I saw him, like he saw me, and I was like, I saw him on the app again. Oh my god, yeah, it's a nightmare. My life's a nightmare. So
no, yeah. It's not a nightmare.
I think it's desperate. I do think it's desperate now that we put it in terms if they were normal people, it's desperate.
Yeah, it feels desperate to me. So that's what I wanted to bring it up, because I was like, am I an asshole for thinking this is weird, desperate ass behavior?
But J-Lo is still hot. I think she's just hot enough to get away with it.
I think she is too, but that's why I'm almost like, find someone else. Like Ben Affleck has been like the schlubby internet joke for like 5 years now.
Could date anyone she wanted.
I always thought she was too good for A-Rod, too. He is not a handsome man.
But there's probably some dude out there who, like, played football in college who would, like, still think he's too good for J-Lo. There's some dude who played, like, D1 football in college, and he meets J-Lo at a bar, and he's still acting like he's too good for her.
No. Ben Affleck, though, he gets, like, all the hot girls. His last girlfriend was the main chick in Knives Out. She's super gorgeous.
Yeah. I know her. I forget her name.
I do, too.
I know her name, but I forget it.
Yeah, like, she's, like, so beautiful.
I'm not going to butcher it right now.
Yeah. But Anna de Armas?
Yes.
Yeah. She's fucking beautiful. And he was, like, peak schlubby when they got together. Like, what is going on? I hate it. At least he got hotter for J-Lo. I don't know, he's all like in shape again and stuff.
I know, with this all happening, I'm feeling like a New Year's energy. I'm like, everybody collectively listening, like, just let's all do better. Like, yeah. Second half of the year. Like, let's just kill it. Like,
I just, I'm like, J-Lo, please set the standard higher.
Yeah, we need to be, write her some letters.
Just be like, please, sister, I know please. It's been rough, but please.
Well, we're going to dive in. I have to say, Susan got Mike, and he's always been looking hot. She never got him at a schlubby phase.
No, so he hasn't had a schlubby phase.
Susan knows her worth, I would have to say.
I think so.
She stood strong. He, like, threw a lot of stuff. We are going to dive into the episode. You know what it is. It's the finale.
It's the finale.
So, season one, episode 23, One Wonderful Day. You can go turn it on and then come back, but we're going to go watch, and then we'll be right back with you. And per usual, every episode, every season, buckle up.
Buckle up.
Season 1, episode 23, One Wonderful Day. Rex goes where he can't return, leaving Bree alone forever. Oh no. Susan keeps her cool as she sees Zach for who he really is. Uh-oh. Roles are reversed in the Scavo household after Tom loses his job. Oh. Gabby testifies for Carlos, but John shakes things up in the courtroom. Ooh la la. Paul puts the pieces of the puzzle together for Mike, if it's the last thing he does. See y'all in season two.
I don't even know how to start.
Well, we finally have some clarity on why Mary Alice killed herself.
It's not over. I feel like I feel no closure. I guess we can say that.
It's weird because I feel like they did tie up a lot, but then didn't at the same time.
No fucking closure. Rex dies.
Folks out there that knew this was coming, do you know how hard it was for me to keep my fucking mouth shut about Rex dying?
I'm in disbelief. I want him because it's soapy. I'm hoping that, like, next season he just comes back.
I will say that Rex does return, but I'm not going to give you any details on it.
Yeah, I want him to not truly be dead, and I want him to return.
I mean,
I hate on Rex for half the season until he was LGBTQ positive.
That's why I feel like they didn't know what, like, I don't know if they knew they were going to kill him off or not, because they flip-flopped so many times with his character. Like, I feel like he'd be a really great dad one episode, a good husband one episode, and then be the absolute worst another. So I'm just like, I don't really know how they wanted us to feel. I mean, they made him complex, I guess. But you're right. Like, we did actively hate him.
I don't want him to die. I might have said that in an episode or two, but I actually didn't. Like, he provided so much. Like, he was a foil, in a way, foil for, like, great characters and Bree and Andrew. And, like,
I mean, looking at it from, like, a story perspective, I feel like either him or Tom had to die.
Because at this point, I'm like, can we have Tom?
Because they need, like, one of the housewives has to actually be a housewife, you know? Like, they got to have one of them, like, actually married in a housewife, which we have. And it's Bree and Lynette that are the two that are, like, not having an affair. Like, they're married. Like, I guess, like, Carlos and Gabby are married, but, like, Carlos has been in and out of jail the whole time. So it's kind of like the dynamic's been thrown. And they've only been married for, like, a really short period of time. But I feel like Rex, like, they had to throw a wrench into one of those marriages, and they offed Rex. But I guess they were setting it up because they were poisoning him. I guess I just didn't, like, I remember the first time I watched it, I didn't think that they would follow through on that.
I didn't think he would be poisoned to death. I didn't think George was that maniacal.
I mean, yeah, he's fucking evil.
He's so crazy. He's literally... he loves Bree that much.
He's a murderer.
All right. If you're not going to murder for me, get the fuck out.
You don't even know, dude. No, George is fucking psychotic.
Oh, this isn't the end of George. Okay. We didn't see George this episode, but...
It's not the end of George.
Damn. Okay.
His plan worked. His plan worked. Like, that's the craziest thing ever.
I didn't expect it to work. This all took me, most of this took me by surprise. Especially, all right, I mean, we'll get into it. Yeah. I'm going to touch on John, but we can just get into this. So okay. It starts in a way that we haven't started really any episode besides Ep 1. Mm-hmm. So I like that Ep 23 ties it all back together. We see a lot of calling upon episode mm-hmm. 1, hearkening back to. So Mary Alice Young talks about herself for once, and I'm about this.
Yeah.
She says, I'm Mary Alice Young. And before I died, my life was filled with love, laughter, friendship, and sadly, secrets. She's doing a whole, like, live, laugh, love vibe.
Yeah,
and
she is.
They have, like, a picture of all the girls together. And I was like, you guys were not friends. Like, when did you snap that pic? When? Like,
yeah, I don't buy it.
So the secret began 15 years earlier when I was Angela Forrest. And I was living a life of quiet desperation, which... That exact phrase is said, like, episode 1, quiet desperation. Mm-hmm. And that's what she was saying, like, why she killed herself. And she says that she felt it in the breakfast she made for her husband and the errands she ran her afternoon, which are also things she kind of lifts, she kind of said in her monologue, episode 1. So here we are. And even in my job in the evenings, and we catch a Fairview calendar.
Yeah.
And there, some chick at the hospital is like, yeah, I have family in Fairview or something like that. So to me, each day was gray and meaningless. And I was like, dang, she was really like going through some mental mm-hmm. shit here. If she's feeling this way. And then she said one night there was a knock at the door or there was color. Yeah, my life was gray, meaningless, and then there was color. And Deidre comes by asking for money with a baby, looking beat as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Looking strung out.
Very strung out. And the makeup, shout out makeup artists in this episode. Mm-hmm. And they're having this whole conversation. She's like, I need money. I need to buy food for the baby. And they're like, yeah, right. And you're using again. And she offers them her watch. You can have it for $50. So a different type of desperation. Mm-hmm. Paul pops off and he's like, get the fuck out. We don't want your watch. She says, Angela, you're the only one at the rehab center who treated me like a human. And Angela's like, I can't do this. You need to leave. And she goes to the door. And then she's like, I will sell you my baby. And I'm like.
And Mary Alice, I guess they'd had issues having a baby.
Paul pops off once again. He's like, we don't need it. And Mary Alice is like, stop. She puts her hands up.
She fucking locks the door.
She closes that door. She thinks about it for a second and closes that door. And she's like, what? And she says, I'm thinking about Dana. You'll give him a good home. He will be better off. And Paul is like, no, no. Mary Alice is like, yes. Mm-hmm. So closes the door, and Deidre's like, how much money do you keep in this house? Next thing we know, they clearly have bought the baby, which is fucked up. You can adopt. If you're having trouble conceiving, I feel for you, but don't buy a drug addict's baby.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, they were providing a baby with a good home. Like, I don't really think they did anything that wrong.
They didn't.
That's what's
that
sad
wrong.
Is like, I think that later they did something wrong.
Yeah.
But in that moment, like, if you're that desperate and this child is clearly unwanted, and like, obviously they should have legalized that shit.
They should have made it legal. I'm not saying don't do that, but be like.
But I definitely feel like Deirdre's their dad would have swooped in and still taken that baby away
from
them.
Yeah, I think there were layers to it. But overall, I'm just like, okay, this is so fucked. And like, Deidre comes to the ER after that, like, dosing, mm-hmm. and Mary Alice is shook. And then we close up on the Fairview, March 1990.
Well, the nurse, Felicia's the nurse when Deirdre ODs, yeah. And she straight up says, like, this woman has a baby, like, where's the baby?
Yeah.
So that's when Mary Alice is like, shit, we gotta get out of
here.
Yeah,
that's what left her shaking in her boots. So we close up on the Fairview picture. It's 1990, and it all fits together. They buy the house, and then Mary Alice says we were as happy as any family could be until one night 3 years later when there was a knock at the door. And guess who it was? Deidre.
All and clean.
She is desperate once again. So, yeah, clean, looking, put together, really
she
hot.
She wants her baby dad.
Yeah, so.
Low-key, though, honestly, though, kind of a bitchy move to be like, oh, I want my baby back. Like, yeah. Fuck you, you sold it. Like, if I were, you literally sold your baby, like, fuck off.
Mary Alice Young's like, do you have the receipt? Like, yeah, for that proof purchase? That your baby. Do you have the receipt? Yeah. Like, birth certificate? What?
Yeah.
So, next thing we know, we have an abbreviated intro, so you know this episode's about to be lit. Yeah. They didn't do the full intro. Mm-hmm. Next thing, we're in real time. It's 5 a.m. on Wisteria Lane, and that's when the phone calls started. And each of them knew something was wrong from the first ring. It's the unwritten rules of suburbia. Don't call the neighbors in the middle of the night unless the news is bad. So they came with their uncombed hair and their unmade faces because after all these years, they were no longer just neighbors. They were friends. And so that's when I'm like, that picture then, why do you guys have that picture? You're not even friends, you're neighbors. Yeah. So they roll up to the hospital waiting room because Bree is there waiting for Rex. Mm-hmm. That's what these calls were about. And we come to find out the calls were not even made by Bree. They were made by Danielle.
Yeah.
Because Bree
was so checked out. I don't know.
She says Rex is stable, but they have to put a pacemaker in, so they need to operate. And she's like, how did you know? And that's when they're like, Danielle. She elaborates, we were having a fight when it happened. I'm feeling really guilty because I should have gotten here sooner. And I'm like, you can't be feeling that guilty. You literally did this on purpose. Mm-hmm. This is where I draw some issues with their storyline. And she says, I'm trying to be strong. So like, if you keep comforting me, I'm going to lose it. And they back off and they're like, let's talk about something non-crisis. And Susan's like, oh, I found Mrs. Huber's journal. So like that, we can talk about that. I think that like Paul Young killed her, and like I think Mike knows. Like she says it so cash, and everybody's like, okay.
And they're like, what the fuck? Like it's almost like they'd all forgotten about, like they were trying to solve some mystery, and Susan's like, oh, by the way, like remember how interested we were in the second episode?
So that happens, and then I don't recall where we cut off to, but we can start off with Bree and Rex.
So basically Rex like is gonna be operated on or was operated on, and Bree like goes in to talk to him when he's like kind of conscious or whatever. They just like are kind of casually talking about like the spring cleaning she has to do.
He's like, what are you thinking about, babe?
Yeah, it's like super weird. And then like he basically makes a point to tell her that like he knows how she finishes the spring cleaning, which is like with the silverware. Like, dusting that off, I guess. And it kind of makes Bree, like, realize, like, he does pay attention.
Even though episode one, he was like, you are too particular. No, I hate everything.
He's
fucking
mean. So Bree tells him that, like, she saves it for the last day or for the last thing because her aunt had told her that during bad times, one should always keep in mind that the best is yet to come. So, like, it's just, like, a reminder for her when she does the silverware. And she assures Rex that he's going to come through and everything's gonna be great, and they kind of make amends like for everything that's went down. And you're right, it is a bit of a flip from the last episode where she was like so pissed that she almost let him die. So then later Rex finds out that he's been being poisoned. Like the doctor's like, hey man, like someone's been poisoning you, and it's probably your wife because she makes all your food.
Yeah, he's like, look at these charts. take a peek.
Yeah, so Rex has like another heart attack, so he writes a note. And he says, Bree, I understand and I forgive you. And he fucking, like,
kicks the bucket.
He dies.
Kicks the bucket right there.
Yeah, while Bree's cleaning the silverware, that's what she finds out. But she goes back to her cleaning, puts everything away, like, sets the table and stares at where like, Rex sits.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then she starts, like, fucking crying.
Then she has a breakdown. But I was worried for a minute. I was like, she's not even going to cry, is she? But she loses it. And I said, Emmy, where's the Emmy? It was a really good moment. Yeah, the doctor, they have this heart-to-heart, and he's like, I want to say some stuff, and, like, I'm sorry that I moved out. I'm sorry about the affair. I'm sorry about it all, like, everything I did, the sex stuff, and she says it doesn't matter. And then she says, we can just say that we're even. And then he's like, I just want it for the record. She's like, the operation's going to be fine. It was endearing. I thought it was a great apology. I think that's, like, realistic. A realistic makeup on the bedside.
Yeah.
Hospital bedside. Mm-hmm. Then when the doctor's talking to Rex, he implies that it's Bree for sure. He says, who makes your food? And Rex gets kind of pissed. He's like, you can leave,
sir. Yeah, he doesn't want... It's almost like he doesn't... Like, he knows what he's saying, and he just doesn't want to accept it.
Yeah, the doctor goes hard. He says, I understand you've been having some marital problems in the salad bar incident. He even talks about the salad bar incident. So he backs it up. I don't think Rex wants to believe it. And, like, fuck George. I hate that this is happening now. I wasn't ready to see Rex go. But, yeah, Rex tells him to leave at first. And then he's like, but give me that chart. I'm going to sit with it. And then he looks at it all. That's when then he writes the note. And he just, like, fucking dies. And I was, like, I was shocked. I didn't see it coming.
I do think, too, like, it is rare that a show kills off, like, a pretty prominent character like that.
Super prominent character. There's been so much around him. Mm-hmm. He's been an integral part of the storyline with Bree. So it's going to be interesting to see Bree move on.
Yeah, and I think they're setting up a lot of, like, rich storytelling for her, because there's only so much back and forth they could do with her and Rex before they have to forgive each other, and then there's no more drama.
Or they break up, yeah, and, like, that happens. So
I guess it kind of makes sense from a storytelling point of view.
Maybe it was genius. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know what's coming, and I do like Bree's storylines in the coming seasons, and they couldn't happen if Rex was around. I'm like,
bring back Rex.
I do think, like, over the course of the series, Bree gets a lot of the character development.
Yeah.
Like, she changes a lot as the show goes on, but not in, like, a convoluted way. And I think you even see it in this first season. Like, she starts as such a cookie cutter in the first episode, and then by the end of it, she's so much more layered and nuanced. And, like,
she's having a goddamn emotional affair.
Yeah. She's also just, like, a very interesting person. Like, I feel like we learn how she had, like with Andrew, like, hitting Mama Solis and stuff, like, how she handled that, how she handled the affair. Like, I don't know. I just feel like she gets a lot of really juicy bits. Like, her character is very layered.
Yeah, because episode one, they're like, she likes everything to be perfect. But, like, her life is the furthest thing from perfect, where her son committed manslaughter. She sent him to a camp for troubled young boys. Her son came out as gay, which she can't handle.
Yeah.
And then she has an emotional affair with a pharmacist, which everybody shames her for because he's a pharmacist. Not because he's weird. Because he's a pharmacist. Yeah. But, like, the pharmacist. It's been a lot, but that's, like, the gist. It was pretty quick and dirty in the worst way possible. Like, that's where we end up with Bree.
Yeah.
But another kind of quick and dirty one. They were all kind of quick and dirty, except for Susan and Mike's, honestly.
Yeah.
I was going to say Gabby.
Okay.
Because Gabby's, like, actually nothing really happens, but the biggest thing ever happens. So it's what we've been waiting for all season. I was like, are they? Will they? Won't they? Will we? Won't we find out as the audience if Carlos is going to know? Like, will he?
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He learns about the affair directly from the mouth of John Rowland himself.
In, like, one of the most, like, dramatic ways possible. Like, John has had so many, like, more low-key opportunity. Like, he could have just visited Carlos at jail and told him.
John has been chest bumping this man for the past year. They've been bro-hugging. They've been like, you're like a dad to me, basically. You're like a son to me, draw. Like, and then he decides now of all times, I guess because he knows Gabby's pregnant, which we posed the question on our Twitter the other day. We're like, why did Gabby even tell? Like, big question. Like, why did she even tell him?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Carlos is in that orange jumpsuit. He's ready to go to court. And Gabby rolls up. In an interesting outfit, I'd have to say. Interesting hair, makeup, outfit, look. I was not understanding what was going on.
The
end
of this back half of the first season, like, her clothes have been very hit and miss.
All over the place. Yeah. It was weird. So she says, I'm testifying for you. And he said, thank God, being up a gay guy looks bad. And she said, in some circles, beating up anybody looks bad. I'm, like, dying at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is obviously is, like, a big Neanderthal. And he says, so why did you change your mind? She says, I'm about to be a mother of your child, which means a lot of responsibility and a little time to myself. So I got to get you out of this mess, and you're going to have to reciprocate everything that goes, like, everything. You're going to have to, like, if the baby cries, you have to go attend to it. Doctor's appointments, you're driving because I don't want to put a car seat in my Maserati. And you'll also be on bottle duty, which means washing, filling, and sanitizing. And so that, like, I can have a life, and maybe I won't hate you so much. And he's then she like walks out and he's like, aren't we breastfeeding? And she's like, if you can swing that one, like more power to ya.
Yeah.
We catch up with them in court, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
In court, she's testifying and she's like, yeah, like my husband is so jealous and it's really a problem. Like that's really what this was. He didn't know that he was gay and all this stuff. It's okay. Also, she says it's like, you know, I had to testify for him, so nobody's convicted. And she's like, the judge is like, nobody's been convicted yet. This is a grand jury. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm talking about his other crime. So he looks really bad. And then the lawyer's like, what is your point? She's like, the point is my husband is like a Neanderthal who like can't control himself. Everybody's kind of believing her. The lawyers go up to the stand and they're like, I don't think we have a case here. I think he just really was jealous. Like he didn't know this guy was gay. Justin's in the courtroom in the back. And then we see John roll in, looking really casual, like he was just running some errands. He's like in a jean jacket or something. And he just walks up to Carlos, which how did he do that in this courtroom? Isn't there like a separation?
Yeah, but no.
Close up on him whispering in Carlos's ear. And he's like, just so you know, you beat up the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think it's strange that your house was the only one on Wisteria Lane that needed to be mowed 3 times a week? And then John just mic drops and like gets ready to walk out.
Yeah.
And Carlos jumps over the stand and he's like, I'll fucking kill you. I'll kill you. And that's pretty much that. He looks at Gabby. Gabby realizes what John said and is like,
she's like, fuck, fuck, fuck.
But
like,
obviously Carlos is arrested.
Yeah, so Carlos ain't going
good
anywhere.
For Gabby. Blessing in disguise, because that's going to be fucked up. So that's like where that ends. Did I miss anything? I pretty much got it all.
No, that was pretty much all that happened in their story. We don't really see like the outcome of like the aftermath at all. They're saving that for season 2.
I didn't think it was going to be John. I just have to say that. I didn't think it was going to be John that told. Also, what a good friend Justin is for never ratting out his friend to Carlos, even though he's now mowing their lawn and shit. And, like, I think Justin's kind of an A1 friend for not doing anything. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like he supports his bro in this gross act. It's kind of gross. It's all super gross, but, like, now he's 18, I guess. It's fine. I don't know.
He's still a teenager. Yeah, he's still a teenager. I'm sorry, but like, no.
All right. Do you think that Gabby actually loves John?
I don't know. There's been moments where I feel like she does, but then other times she makes it very clear she doesn't. Like giving back the ring, that whole thing, she seemed to love him.
But taking the ring. Taking the ring in the first place.
Well, no, there's been moments, but like overall, I'm like, I don't think so, but they have made us guess.
True. I think that I don't think that she loves Carlos. I could say that. I don't think she loves Carlos. I think she's with him out of necessity, even though she says that she isn't. But I feel like she thinks that she's trapped. And I don't think that she should be withdrawn or want to be withdrawn, but for some reason she fucking is.
I just think Gabby doesn't really know what she wants, and I think she jumped prematurely into a marriage, and I think she does love Carlos, but I think they kind of get off on the drama.
Yeah.
Because they're both bored in the suburbs. I don't even know. Their relationship is really hard for me to understand, because maybe it's just because in my relationships, I'm like the opposite. Like, I'm like, the less going on, the better. Like, let's keep this low drama, and like, Gabby's mindset, like, I understand that she was neglected, but I could never do what she did. I could never, like, cheat.
Cheat with a yard boy, cheat with an underage man.
Just cheat in general and then cheat with a fucking child. Like, that was such an extreme reaction to her miserable little life.
That, like, everybody knows. Yes. Like, everybody knows what John.
Stupid,
like,
stupid, stupid.
Yeah, she fucked up. I don't know. These people need to get better at cheating, to be honest. They all suck at it. They need to get better at their crimes. All of them. After that, we can go into Lynette, because Susan has a lot of meat on her shit.
Yeah, and the episode kind of ends with Susan's crazy predicament.
So Lynette is... Okay, this was the most absurd thing ever. It took me a minute to catch on to what was happening. Lynette's at a pizza place, and her kid is just saying something, and she's like, yeah, whatever. And we cut to Tom just crushing it at air hockey. Just, like, celebrating, yelling at kids, just owning it, owning the air hockey table. And Lynette is like, Tom, what are you doing here? And I'm like, wait, they didn't come together? It took me a minute. I was like, oh, Tom is here and Lynette didn't know. She confronts him and Tom is wearing his work stuff. So in my mind, I'm like, he had to pretend to leave for work today. He must have come, or maybe this is the same day he got fired. I'm not quite sure.
They don't make that clear. I'm like, has he just been missing for a few days? And she just happened to run into him at the pizza place.
It was crazy. And I said, that's a note of mine. They didn't come together, ... She's like, what are you doing? It's like the middle of the day. Shouldn't you be at work? And he's like, no, I quit. And he doesn't care. He continues playing air hockey. And he said, I told Peterson to suck it yesterday. And then I noted he keeps crashing it, continues. Lynette is like, can you talk to me for a second? I don't understand what's going on. Tom lays it the fuck down. He says, you told Peterson's wife not to promote me. So he gave the promotion to Annabelle. So I quit. And Lynette is like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
I don't think I'd been really to, like, a fun arcade like that outside of maybe, like, visiting my cousins until I was 21 and went to, like, a barcade. Which I love. I think they're so much fun, probably because I missed out my whole life.
Maybe, but I noted. If you had one of those in your hometown, like, a ball pit place with all the games, let us know.
You're just watching someone's marriage break down. I know. Like, your kid's like, just playing air hockey with some, like, dad who just lost his job. Like, oh, my God, what the fuck?
I'm like, this is exactly
I'd be like, get my child away from this fucking pedophile that's just...
He's literally like not with a shot.
No, there's no kids with him.
Last thing, he didn't go to a Dave and Buster's where he could at least drink. He went to like a children's. Tom essentially went to a Chuck E. Cheese like, by himself. So that happens. But after Tom lays it down, she's like, can we talk about this? And he says, no, we can't. And she says, so you're going to stay here and play games all day? And he said, no, I think I'm going to, and it's the most juvenile thing. I'm going to go get ice cream and maybe go to the lake and rent a boat and really do whatever I want. And she's like, she starts to say something and he says, go home, Lynette, before I say something I regret. And then he continues crushing it at air hockey and he beats this one kid and he's like, if we play again, like, you can have your bike back. He's, like, betting with these kids. I'm like, you couldn't go to the...
He's, like, having a full-on mental break.
Yeah, this is a mental break because if you lose your job, go to the bar, go to a Dave and Buster's at the very least. Mm-hmm. Go to the casino if you want to bet. But he... I think it's a strange move, and when we talk about how it went down, it's crazy.
Yeah, so then... Later, Tom gets home and declares to Lynette that she's going to go back to work and he's going to be a stay-at-home dad. And the look on her face is strange because I'm not sure if she's happy or sad about it.
Undecipherable. We couldn't tell.
No, but she's clearly not. Something's wrong.
She's all like, no, I don't want to go back to work. But I told this to Jordan. I said, it seems like you really fucking do. And you did this crazy, convoluted, subconscious self-sabotaging to get there.
Yeah. No, she did. She definitely did.
Everything she did, every single episode was like, get me back to work.
Yeah. About how much she hates being a stay-at-home mom. So it's like, you win, Lynette. And it's like, Tom almost resigns himself to that. Like, you win, Lynette. I'm staying home. I'm not doing this again. If you clearly don't want me to get promoted, like, then what's the point? And I kind of feel the same way. But also, though, Tom gives me stay-at-home dad vibes to begin with. So
oh, for sure. Tom is going to be the best stay-at-home dad. Like, he's not going to be perfect. Like, you know Lynette's going to complain about him all the time to her girlfriends about the shit he does. But his kids are going to, like, love him.
Yeah, they're going to be super happy.
They're going
to
be, like, playing. Because Lynette, I feel like, doesn't want to fucking kick it with her kids ever.
No, she's miserable.
She's like, don't do that. Stop. But, like, Tom is going to be like, let's go fucking, like, to the park. Let's go out and do this. But I feel like Lynette hates that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, like, the perfect role reversal. It's what we needed, but also, yeah, firing her, needing a nanny, then firing her nanny because Tom was too attracted to her. Never getting a new nanny. That shit's fucked up.
No, Lynette's
getting
fucking
addicted
nuts.
To like your children's like uppers or whatever. Yeah, no, she's and then stealing the show from your husband, like when he had that dinner there at their house. And then like, I think the Annabelle thing is pretty, like, I'd be pissed too. But the whole thing where she doesn't get, let him get the promotion, she sabotages his promotion. Like, there's so many things that Lynette did where I'm just like, shut the fuck up, Lynette. Like, you're so annoying. And I think we would both divorce our partners if we ever found out that something like this happened.
Yeah. Lynette's just so not support. It's weird. I don't know. I feel like she would expect Tom to support her no matter what. So it's fucking crazy to me that she's so not supportive. I just don't even know how to express how confused I am by what she wants.
Yeah, because she obviously is going to go back to work because one of them has to work here. And Tom is telling her it's going to be her. Her face was unreadable, but I know that she's probably excited about it. But she also did put up a fight. She's like, I've been doing this for 6 years and I haven't complained the entire time. And it's like, you complain all the fucking time. I'm not sure. She seems mind fucked, but also she should be satisfied with herself. I personally think we're ending. If this is our final episode, Lynette is my least favorite of the wives. Don't like her. So that's where Lynette ends up. We don't get any closure there either. No. There's no fucking closure.
No.
But now to the bread and butter of this episode.
Yes, the bread and the butter. So,
can we get a Carl sighting? Carl made an appearance this episode.
Carl did make an interesting appearance in this episode.
I can't wait for more Carl. I know you know Carl's gonna be back.
I do know.
I get Carl's the sense that he will be. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had him there.
Oh yeah, no. Carl's in season two a lot, actually. So you're in for a real treat.
Okay,
a real treat.
I'd like to say there was an episode where Susan invites Mike to that dinner party and she left him a message and she runs into him again and she's like, I hope you got my messages. And I said in that episode, I'm like, I imagine Susan left him 5 frantic messages about coming to this dinner party. That's how we open on Susan this episode. She is confirmed that type of person to leave you 10 messages, all with different emotions behind them.
Yeah.
So that's what she did. She first one says that she found Mrs. Huber's journal in his truck. She said, I couldn't not read it, so I did. I know about the blackmail, so call me back and we'll talk. I love you. Bye. That's her first fucking message.
Yeah, no, she goes crazy.
She's like really chill. She goes crazy. But that's like a crazy thing to leave in a message.
Yeah.
And then leaves another message. I haven't heard back. I was getting a little concerned. The girls and I were talking. We think Paul Young killed Mrs. Huber. And if he did, he probably killed your ex-girlfriend too. So call me back. That's her second message. Third message. I thought the whole point of having a cell phone was so someone could reach you when they needed to talk. How can we move forward as a couple if you won't communicate with me? I need you to call me back. I mean it. Love you. Bye.
It just gets like, it's brutal.
Message 4. I'm so sorry for the last phone call. Let's just say it was worry talking. Hang on. I'm getting another call. And Mike calls her back on the other line.
Like, oh my God, Susan. Oh my God.
I mean, I've been there with my emotions, but I don't think I've left messages like that. No. I've definitely gone the other down.
There's no going back. There's no going back.
No, because it's recorded. Like, they get your message. Yeah. Like, so Mike called her back, and he's like, hey, it's me. And she's like, where have you been? And he's like, this reception's really lousy on this work site. And she says, I'm stressed out. How did you get Martha's journal? And he says, oh, Miss Tillman gave it to me. She was helping with my search. And she says, we need to give it to the police. And Mike's like, yeah, absolutely. And Susan is shook every time Mike mm-hmm. is like, yeah, a yes man. And she says, really? And he says, yeah, as soon as I get him with a job, we'll make an appointment with the detective. What's his name? Pretending like he doesn't know the name of the detective that beat the shit out of him. And she's like, great, that's great. I'll be back in a few hours. And she's like, hurry, I have a feeling that Paul Young's in the middle of this. He says, let's not rush to judgment. And then Paul is in the back of the motherfucking truck. Duct tape over his mouth. So
yeah, the man is a prisoner of Mike Delfino.
I wouldn't mind, but I wouldn't mind.
You're like, where do I sign up to be driven away?
I'm like, do I just have to murder someone first?
Yeah, and then the handsome Avenger will come to you and take you.
But then we see Carl picking up
Julie.
Yeah. And he shames Mike again for his profession.
He always does. He's such a fucking jerk.
You catch that? He's like, he's still a plumber.
fucking Carl, dude. Like, not everyone can be a high-powered lawyer. There's only so many law jobs. We need plumbers in this world. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I've needed a plumber at every place I've lived. Multiple times, usually.
Hair. It's a valuable-ass skill to have.
Get yourself a... He knows how to deal with women's hair if he's a plumber. Mm-hmm. And all those drains.
Yeah. He knows how to snake a drain, if you know what I'm saying, ladies.
Anyone knows. Yeah, so Carl is basically like, are you sure you're not moving fast? Like, living in sin, moving in with Mike, and you're not mm-hmm. married or something. And that's what he's bringing up, basically. And he's like, I don't like the idea of Julie being around him. And I'm like, you hung out with the dude at that weird sing-song bar. Like,
yeah, no, he's just jealous. He's just a jealous asshole.
Yeah, shames his profession, and that's that. Susan's feeling confident, her decision. She goes to feed Bongo because I guess he's still at Mike's house. And this is where shit all falls apart in this episode. This is where shit really falls the fuck apart. Mm-hmm. And Zach is there with a gun, comes out of the shadows with a gun.
Yeah.
And he's demanding her to sit down. He's bossing her around. And Susan is held at gunpoint. So what is she going to do but like agree with him and do what he says? But Edie comes to the rescue.
Edie just kind of shows up. And Zach, like, lets Susan talk to Edie because, like, Edie can see that Susan's there. And then basically Edie tells her that Felicia was attacked at the Young house and she's, like, freaking out and wants to stay there for a while. But Susan tells her to get the fuck out. Not really, but she does tell her to, like, go away. Like, mm-hmm. this is not the place to be safe. But you know how Edie is. Then Susan asks Zach, like, why he attacked Felicia. And he tells her that he wanted to know, like, what had happened to his dad. Because as far as he knows, like, he's not buying the story that his dad just left.
Because all these people are bad liars.
Yeah.
Like, an average person can sniff out their life.
Yeah, no, it's awful. So, but basically, he was able to find out that Mike took his dad to kill him. So now he has to kill Mike. So we kind of cut after that to Mike leading Paul into the middle of the desert. Like, we're watching fucking Breaking Bad or something.
I know, with his Nissan truck in the desert, as I said. I'm like, what the fuck?
And he, like, basically holds him at gunpoint. And Paul's like, Mike, what? Like, why are you doing this? And Mike shows him a picture of Deirdre. And he
throws down the picture. One we saw.
So Mike's like, what did she do to deserve, like, this death? And Paul, like, tells him what happened.
Paul breaks it down.
Yeah, like, it kind of, like, Mary Alice starts narrating again, and she says, and just like that, my husband began sharing my secrets I had died to protect, which is, like, kind of heartbreaking in a way that, like, she really didn't have to die, but here we are. So essentially, like, Deirdre showed up wanting her kid back, and they were like, no. So Deirdre knocks Paul out with an iron. And then Mary Alice grabs a knife and stabs her and kills her.
Yeah, he knocks her. Oh, wait. She knocks him out with a fire poker.
Yeah.
Or like she, like, attacks him, but then
But Mary Alice is the one that does the killing.
Mary Alice sticks that knife in. Yeah. And now we have a new graphic that I'll be making for season two. It's a bloody knife. And Mary Alice is like, not okay. She didn't seem remorseful.
No, but this is, like, kind of a theme this season has been, like, what do these moms do to protect their freaking children?
Yeah. Also, Paul goes upstairs with his bloody forehead for a second and, like, checks on... Oh, no. Mary Alice is getting the toy chest. And she's like, go back to bed, Zach. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then he comes downstairs as he's, like, sees the dead body on the floor. And they're like... Paul's like, the body won't fit. She's like, well, we're going to have to make it fit. And she's like, they're laying the concrete for the pool tomorrow. Let's just put it in there. Like, so Mary Alice really masterminded everything. And Paul was just along for the ride.
Yeah, which is sad because Paul's been the one having to cover this shit up essentially the whole time. Because
Paul does not have the light in his eyes that he did at the beginning of the episode before they ever got Zach. Mm-hmm. He does not anymore. So that's what happened.
Yeah. So they put her in the chest and everything, and then it cuts back to them, and Mike's like, Deirdre had a baby? Like, what the fuck?
He has his Glock out, by the way. He's ready, and then he learns about the baby, and you see the realization on his face.
Yeah. So Paul, like, nods, like, yes, and then Mike aims his gun at him, and we think he's gonna shoot him, but then he ends up just, like, leaving. And then... later that night, like, Mike arrives home, but he doesn't know that, like, Zach's in there with a gun and Susan. And that's literally how the episode ends.
And I just said, OMG, Mike is a baby daddy.
Yeah, Mike's a baby daddy.
Mike's a baby daddy. And guess whose baby is? It's Zach motherfucking Young, Dana, aka, yes, school shooter vibes.
They, like, confirm that Mike's his dad, but also, wasn't she fucking that dead cop?
So, I mean, they don't really confirm that Mike's the dad. We just think so.
It could be Mike.
Well, Mike thinks that he's the dad right now. Could be the cop. Could, we don't know who Deidre was, but we don't know what her sex life was like.
She was a drug addict, like, pretty wily drug addict, it sounds like, so.
Sound, I mean, looks like, makeup artist, scene one. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I need a timeline breakdown of when the cop got killed.
Yeah.
Where the cop came, because she was still a drug addict when her baby was, like, a few months old.
Yeah.
And then later OD'd. Wasn't when she OD'd, wasn't that when Mike killed the cop? So maybe the cop didn't come until after she'd had the I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
How did Mike not know that she had a motherfucking baby?
Because remember, he, like, broke up with her for a while. So remember when they were talking about, like, why he went to jail? He had, like, broken up with her and got clean. And then that's when he, like, she needed help. He realized what was going on.
Yeah.
Showed up. He and the cop fell off the balcony while they were fighting. Cop died. Then he goes to jail.
Hmm.
So there was a chunk of time where Mike, like, had distanced himself from her.
So it could be somebody else's baby.
But, I mean, maybe, like, that was the pregnancy.
Yeah, maybe that was the
9 months. Because I feel like they wouldn't have hooked up again after he killed the cop and all that.
I don't think so. Sounds like it kind of ended there.
Yeah.
Well, that's that. Also, Edie has a bit of an appearance. She rolls up looking really hot to the new neighbor's place. The people who just moved in, she's looking good. And this lady's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm your realtor. And she's like, I was interested to meet you. And this chick is like, why? This chick doesn't fuck with Edie immediately from the get-go.
No.
And Edie's actually being really nice, like, super friendly. She says, well, I've never sold a place over the phone without the person seeing it in person. And she said, oh, we just knew this is exactly what we're looking for. And this son comes out and there's like a close up on him closing the door all the way. So we imagine that they're secrets. And she says, this is my son, Matthew. And I was like, Matthew, what's up, Matthew?
Yeah, hey.
I was like, hey, how old are you? And he says, nice to meet you, ma'am. And Edie's like frown. She's grossed out.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am's for middle-aged women. And she points to Susan. She's like, you can call that lady ma'am, not me.
Yeah.
She's just being nice. She's like, do you want to walk through? Everything's okay. And this chick is like, we don't want anything. And Edie says, escrow's closed, so I can show you where to put the buckets when it rains. Like, you know, I can show you I can show you what's up. And this chick is like, we're fine. Thanks.
Yeah.
And Edie leaves. Edie gets the message finally. And after she leaves, Matthew and his mom are like, people are really friendly in this neighborhood. And I'm like, who are these people? I mean, I'm left with, like, I'm curious.
Okay.
I imagine they're coming back season two.
Yeah.
Matthew, at least. What's up, Matthew? But that's pretty much where the episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
Felicia got, like Jordan said, Felicia and Zach. I mean, that throwdown was pretty epic. Like, we can see from the beginning how, like, Zach is spiraling.
Yeah. No, which, I think it does set up a lot of, like, it makes me curious about the second season while also did close some loose ends. But I think it is annoying that we have to wait to see what happens when Mike gets home.
I didn't get killed. Yeah, the last thing we see is Mike walking into that door, but we don't hear a gunshot. I thought we would hear a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel a ton of, there was closure in the fact that, like, Rex dies. Yeah. That's sad close. I'm in disbelief. That was one of those moments in a TV show you're like, wait, no.
Yeah. But I think, like, you know, we're setting up a lot of interesting stuff. Like,
No real closure with
Lynette.
I mean,
like, what kind of effect that's going to have on the family? I mean, Andrew's already a fucking disaster human.
I'm surprised we didn't get Andrew and Danielle in here.
Don't worry. We got a lot of good Andrew stuff coming.
I know, you told me. I'm like so excited.
Yeah, no. Season two is one of these weird seasons where, like, the main mystery itself is kind of weird, but the actual plots of the other characters are very interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement. So I think, like, you'll like it better in that sense. But
yeah.
The mystery that ties it all together is not as strong as this first season. Because it's just hard. It's hard because, like, how do you introduce a main mystery? Like, we should have met, like, this family, like, if that's what they're setting up. we should have maybe spent some more time with them before the season ended.
I was thinking, I'm like, obviously they are going to be involved in this mystery. Yeah.
But we don't care about them.
They're coming in super hot. I care about Matthew.
You're like, well, he's hot, so I care about him.
He's a cutie. Yeah, I also like to say that it's interesting that they touched. I think they should have, not should have, I don't know what they should have done. I think it's interesting that they have a character that we find out at the very end of the season was having trouble with fertility. And I think it's interesting that the lengths they go to have a baby, that she's saying that her life was like meaningless without a child. Like that's a kind of antiquated depiction of like domesticity. Like you need to have the nuclear family and you need to have a child. And I know that like some women do feel that way, that they need a child in their life, and some women can't. But I think it's interesting for this show that that was like what she was so desperate at the beginning, desperate to have a baby, and then like obviously desperate to protect him and the lengths that she would go to do it. So for me, I thought that was interesting. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was all about like having a baby and like having the perfect family and like being this housewife.
What it cost her to attain that.
Yeah, because it was a big cost. You had to kill a woman and have no remorse, I guess. But it cost.
I mean, I think she did have remorse, because I do think that's partially why she killed herself. Because not only would the secret eventually get out, but it would kind of bring shame to her whole family, and she would have to reconcile the fact that they did this thing. You know, and I think, like, I don't think she purely killed herself just to, like, protect the secret.
Yeah.
I think like all of a sudden it all came crushing back onto her, and it was like, nope. I know that's how I would fucking feel.
I don't know what
I'd be like, man, it's oof.
Yeah. So that was something to me as we finish out the season that I was like, it does come full circle in that respect. I do feel a little bit of closure thematically about like what it means to be a housewife and how desperation comes into play. So those bigger questions, there was a bit of closure, and it's interesting. So yeah, I just have to say that. But we did come to a Mary Alice Young monologue classic.
Mm-hmm. We did.
She said it's an odd thing to look back on the world, to watch those I left behind, each in her own way, so brave, so determined, so very desperate. Desperate to venture out, but afraid of what she will miss when she goes. Desperate to get everything she wanted, even when she isn't exactly sure what that is. And Gabby was on screen when that was said, because she doesn't know what she wants. Desperate for her life to be perfect again, and that was Bree as she's crying over Rex. And although she realizes it never really was, desperate for a better future, if she can find a way to escape her past. Then Susan was on screen there. I not only watch, I cheer them on, these amazing women. I hope so much they will find what they're looking for. But I know that not all of them will, sadly. That's just not the way life works. Not everyone gets a happy ending. And Mike walks through that door.
So this epilogue's actually very interesting. And again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but for those of you that know how the show itself ends, this is very on the nose. And I, knowing how it ends and hearing this epilogue in the end of the first season is like, I don't know, it almost like makes me appreciate the ending of the show even more. Because when I'm young, I'm not picking up on all these themes, right?
Yeah.
Because I was too young to really appreciate it and like storytelling.
You're like, I didn't understand basic storytelling.
Yeah, no, I didn't understand. I mean, and granted, I saw this episode and then like the end of season 8 was 8 years later. So it's like,
yeah,
okay. So, but you know, now knowing what I know and hearing that, like, I think this is almost like the thesis of the show.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when we first started this season, when we opened and we were listening to Mary Alice's monologues about these desperate women, like, we were like, that's the thesis of the show. But hearing this and about, like, how not every, like, they all strive for this happy ending and they're not all going to get it. Some of them might, but some of them won't. Like, that is kind of what the show's all about, is, like, these women so desperately trying to reach that happy ending, but dealing with the reality that we do not live in a TV show. Like, shit will not always end up the way they want it to.
Yeah. You
know, this isn't a movie. It is, obviously, but the idea of like trying to be more realistic, like, you know, especially throughout time, I think, like, just from a historical standpoint, ambitious women tend to always end up like dead or like something shitty happens to them. And that's what the show is like kind of talking about. Like, you can be an ambitious woman in the world, but your like likelihood of success is not nearly the same as like a man, an ambitious man.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what the show like posits in a weird, in a way, but like in a more easy to like relate to.
Yeah. Well, I think for white middle class American women, a lot of them are posited to have the dream of a happy ending being this sort of domestic lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see what's to come with these characters' twists and turns and like how they won't all have a happy ending. And that's the reality of like our day and age. Like, we're not living in 1960, like, with a white picket fence, and this is all that matters to us, or ever will, to women in general.
Well, and they all kind of had like rom-com love stories, and this is like what happens after.
Yeah.
Because it's like Gabby's like this successful model that marries, you know, this love of her life, this man that swoops in and gives her everything she wants. And that's normally where the movie ends, right?
Yeah.
So now we're seeing the aftermath. Same with like Lynette and Tom have this like work love story, and then they have kids, and it's like, what happens next?
And then he brings his ex back to work.
Yeah, Susan has, like, this wonderful, like, she's almost like the Bridget Jones of the story. Like, she gets cheated on by her husband, and she is the sad, single, klutzy mom who meets this hot plumber. But, like, it's not all it's cut out to be once the love, you know, is reciprocated. And then Brie, of course, like, she's got the college love story. So I think, like, all of these are, like, these women have reached the goal, right? But it's, like, so not what they expected or wanted it to be. And, like, maintaining that happiness once you hit that peak is a lot harder than they all expect it to be. Yeah,
it's always evolving.
Yeah, so the show is almost like what happens after the love story.
I know.
Like, what happens when the big kiss at the end of the movie.
the story doesn't end.
No, the story doesn't end. And I think it's, like the grass isn't always greener type of thing. Like, you move to the suburbs, you start a family, everything's supposed to be good and dandy. But sadly, what we see is like everybody gets bored and they all stir up their own drama in a way. Like, instead of just talking to Brie, Rex fucking has an affair with like a call girl, like, which was bound to be a disaster.
We can call her a call girl. She's another mom on the block.
She's like, yeah, but like, not only was he having an affair, he shows up in a black book of clients. Like, it's like the most demeaning affair he could have had.
He really fucked up.
And then, like, so that stirs up drama. Like, Susan and Mike, for some reason, can't just fucking talk to each other about it's all. Honestly, these people just learn to talk. Like, yeah, this would save so much. This
is really a lesson in communication skills and what not to do.
And, like, Lynette's just, like, super unhappy and self-sabotages everything in her life because she's miserable. And even maybe not even on purpose, but she's very unhappy. And she's the kind of person that will figure out a way. I don't know. Like,
because I don't know if she did it on purpose, but she certainly did it. So.
Yeah, no, and if, like, Gabby's so unhappy that she fucks an underage teen, then maybe she should have just just divorce him. Like, that's what's so fucking crazy to me.
Yeah, because she wasn't confident going back to work. I don't know why we could say it was the money. He just had money, but, like, I don't know. Yeah, these women all have their own drama that they stirred up, because, like, who wouldn't be bored? I think when you're not working and you're just at home and you don't have anything going on, like, you're gonna be bored as shit. When everything is about your husband and your kids, like, it's not about you. So we get a series that's all about them and where they're gonna go. So I'm excited for season two to see where we go from here.
Yeah. No, season two, you're in for a wild ride. Because, like I said, they had some writing changes, so there is inconsistency with some of the stories, but someone described season two as like jumping the shark, and then like season three is like unjumping the shark in a weird way. Like, they're able to kind of reel it back in, but still kind of keep the heightened, like, I don't know. And it's interesting. So I'm really excited for you to watch season two, because I think, like, I'm excited to see what you think about certain storylines that happen.
I'm just glad it's not over. Oh, nothing worse than finishing a series.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad there's more than one season.
We have lots to watch. Yeah.
Well, we could do our final fuck, marry, kill of season one.
Okay. I'm going to kill Lynette because she fucked with Tom's entire life. And now Tom is resigned to be a stay-at-home dad. I'm going to... man, is anybody fuckable or marryable in this episode?
I was thinking
Everyone kind of sucked. I guess I'd fuck Mike.
Okay.
He showed some mercy, I guess. I don't know. And he just kind of got blown away by some big news. So the poor guy's all over the place.
The baby daddy.
And then Mary. I want to marry someone like Rex, where if they think that I poisoned them, they still forgive me.
That's a good choice. That they fucked up. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a great choice. I agree. I didn't even think of that. I'm going to also kill Lynette. It was either between Lynette and Zach for me, because obviously Zach is holding a woman hostage. And it's
but Zach's also like crazy. A fucked up, like poor kid's gone through some trauma. Yeah. Like Lynette's just an asshole.
So I also kill Lynette. If Matthew is 18, I fuck Matthew. I don't know at this point. And I'm going to have to steal your Mary because it's true. If I did that, I want to marry a guy that will just forgive me then for everything I do wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
High bar.
Very high bar.
Housewife of the Week is a hard one. But in my mind, I'd have to nominate Susan because she's really keeping it cool, held at gunpoint.
Yeah, and I think she was like trying to help Mike with this crime, even though Mike obviously already knew everything.
But she's trying.
Yeah, she's going crazy.
I love that she left him 4 messages.
No, she goes nuts, but for the right reasons.
She left him a hard one. The spectrum was wild. Yeah, I mean, do you have anybody else in mind?
She's the only one that really did anything good this episode. I was really disappointed with kind of everyone's actions.
I think
Gabby didn't really do anything wrong, but she has done bad things that came back around this episode.
Yeah, Gabby's was the most filler of filler until John came in.
I just think, like, Gabby's just, like I said before, everything that she, like, she's brought this all on herself. So it's like, I don't really feel for her. Nothing's really happening to her. She keeps causing problems. Except for the pregnancy thing. That is Carlos's fault.
Yeah, that one's not her fault.
No.
Fucking 2 guys unprotected, her fault.
Yeah.
But I guess she thought she was covered.
She thought she was on the pill. So yeah. I would go so far as to say that Carlos, like, technically raped her.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're going into sex, and I said this in a previous episode, but if you're going into sex thinking one thing is happening and it's not, you're being tricked by the other person. Like, she would not have had unprotected sex with him if she knew that her birth control was being not working.
True.
So to me, like, that's rape because she's not going in with all the facts. And of course, birth control is faltered. Like, you know, there's a percentage.
Yeah.
But
0.1.
But it's different because she's going in thinking it's that 0.1 chance, not a 100% chance that she's going to end up pregnant. So I would say, like, no, like, Carla, like, I feel bad that she shouldn't have cheated, but Carlos's actions were pretty fucking despicable too. So it's like, they're both kind of bad people at this point.
Oh, they're both horrible people.
They're both, deserve each other.
I think about this quote a lot when Gabby is like, the only person more selfish than me is Carlos. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like, you guys are bad.
It's true. Like, I like that Gabby calls it like she sees it. I'm not in denial about who she is. So I respect that about her at the end of the season. I respect that about Gabby. She doesn't pretend to be somebody she's not. No. She doesn't pretend to be a good person. She knows who she is. But Carlos is too controlling for me. He is psychotic. Like, him and George are up there together.
They're both
crazy, and they both, like, secretly took advantage of somebody. It grosses me out. But Susan gets our Housewife of the Week, I think, because she is being held at gunpoint by her daughter's crazy ex-boyfriend, keeping it cool, told Edie to fuck off in the name of, once again, ruining their friendship that they're building so that she didn't get shot, so that nobody got shot. So I have a lot of respect for Susan this episode.
I do too.
And then in terms of our Apple rating, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, 4. Finally, we're on the same page.
We had a couple
baby.
That we were off, but I was like, after we finished the episode, watching it, I was like 4.5 in my head. Mm-hmm. And then as we've talked about it, I'm like, solid four.
Nothing really happened, and I feel like we'd figured out most of the mystery at this point, so it wasn't even that big of a reveal.
Nothing was that reveal. I wasn't like, oh my God, it was Mary Alice Young. I'm like, her and Paul were in on it together. Like, even though Paul had less of a hand in it than we thought that he did, he was still there. We knew what happened.
Yeah.
Like, we knew that he knew. So it didn't shock me completely. Shocked me that she killed her with a kitchen knife. A little bit. Can't wait to make pretty the graphic, brutal though. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for me, like, this episode was good, but kind of what we were talking about, they could have made it a better finale without leaving us on such a crazy cliffhanger. And we already, I feel like, to be fair, when they presented the cliffhanger, another season had not already come out. So it's like, okay, but we kind of already know that what's going to happen, I guess, in a sense. Yeah. Because, like, we know, obviously, Susan's still on the fucking show after this. So, like, I don't know.
They're not, like, missing, yeah, in cultural, like, iconography. We're not, like, missing one of the housewives after
yeah.
this.
Yeah. So I think in a way, but, you know, with hindsight, obviously it's different. So maybe in the moment, like, it was a little more fun, but I just feel like we could have gotten a little more closure. I feel like, yeah, like the Gabby stuff, I wish we could have seen a little more, maybe yeah. make it a longer episode and spent more time with each. Cause like we only got really two scenes with Lynette. We only really got two scenes with Gabby.
The one at Dave and Buster's. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would have liked more time, less time on the Mary Alice stuff and more time on the individual plots, because I feel like the individual plots were more interesting to me than Zach holding them at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't, like, that interesting. It was a lot of, like, Zach just bellowing about his life.
Yeah.
Like, everybody lies to me. My dad, you, Felicia, Julie. And I'm like, he is not over this chick. Like... No. There were more interesting things that could have happened. So it was a lot of fillers. That's why I give it a 4 as well. I feel the same. Like when we were going through our recap just now, I'm like, oh, nothing really happens. I'm like, this is pretty quick except for Susan and Mike. So mm-hmm. a lot of it was the flashback. I'm glad we got Mary Alice Young in there, like more of her, mm-hmm. this tall ass woman. Like
it was fun seeing everything play out the way it did. Don't get yeah. me wrong. But maybe like they could have done an hour and a half instead of an hour episode, just so we could have gotten a little more time with each of the other yeah, storylines. I don't know. That's just kind of my view on it. I love Susan. I do like her as a character, but I did feel like her story was kind of like her personal drama was over, right? Like yeah. she and Mike are together. We're really just waiting for Mike to come back. So it was kind of like, I don't know. I'd rather
her whole thing was like, please don't shoot me.
Yeah, like I'd rather the whole storyline. I was more in the stakes with like Tom and Lynette were way higher, and I wanted more of that. I wanted a full on throwdown between the two of them. Yeah. I would have loved that. I would have loved for Tom to make her explain more, like why she did what she did.
Yeah, that's why I think it was out of character.
Like I wish we could have gotten more because even when I don't like Lynette or Tom, those actors when they like, I believe that they're a miserably married couple. Like I fucking believe it. They yeah. have really good chemistry even when they fight. So I would have loved to see more of that.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been good. Couple chemistry wise.
Yeah, so. And I definitely could have used maybe like. Brie telling her children that Rex is like, I would have loved to have seen that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I guess like, yeah, they're saving it for.
I guess they could only do so much. Yeah. So.
I guess I just wish we got a little more of those stories. And that's yeah. kind of why I liked the 4, but it wasn't a bad episode.
No, it wasn't a bad. No. It is the season finale. And I'm excited
for season 2. Like it did like set me up to want to see like yeah. what happens next.
But we're going to be back next week with a recap of the recaps, really.
Yeah.
We're going to have a special episode, so don't stop tuning in just yet. Next Monday, we're going to keep on schedule, mm-hmm. hopefully. And it's going to just be some fun. We're going to do some rankings. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some ultimate fuck, marry, kills. We're going to do some recaps of the extra characters mm-hmm. that we loved so much, yeah. like Tim, Lamont, Justin, who became a mainstay,
yeah.
and some of these other characters. We're going to talk about those. We're going to do some fun facts.
Yeah. We're going to do some prepping for season 2 yeah. without spoiling anything. And then if anybody has any questions or things they want us to answer, yeah. like, you know, for example, one of the things we want to do is kind of rank our housewives for the season. Like if there's stuff like that that you want us to answer, like please DM us and let us yeah. know, because we want to give you guys what you want. But we're really just going to have fun and find different ways to kind of talk about the season as a whole.
Just dive deeper. Yeah, because yeah. every time we talk just about the episodes, we don't have time sometimes to go into...
Like, we have opinions on the women's houses.
Yeah.
We'll save that for next week.
Yes, we can't wait to get into it.
So there's, like, a lot of fun stuff that we'll be able to talk about that we don't necessarily get to in our weekly episodes. Yeah. So stay tuned. We are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so, we'll have some good social media content in the meantime as well. So
yeah. Well, as always, we're so happy that you listen and are with us through this journey. It's been so fun. And even though season one is over, we're excited to come back with you guys. So keep listening, checking out all of our work. Yeah. All of our work on social media.
For all you, of our content.
Everything. And yeah, shoot us a message. Hang out with us. With all that being said, I'll leave you with our words of wisdom that we always end on. It's no different. The season finale. Yep. To get to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.